In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Not long ago, Caroline Inglis was on the verge of a historic moment. No high school golfer, male or female, had ever captured the Oregon State title 4 consecutive years. Inglis won the Class 5A state tournament freshman, her sophomore, and her junior years. And there was very little doubt that she would win the title again as a senior. On the course, Caroline dominated the rest of the field, finishing with a 3-under par 69, 9 shots better than any other golfer. On the last hole, victory assured, she scored her first bogey of the day. That would not have been an issue, except for the fact that her playing partner wrote down she had made a par. Caroline signed her scorecard and turned it in, believing she had just accomplished an Oregon first. In reality, she had disqualified herself. In golf, turning in an incorrect scorecard results in disqualification. Because she had signed and submitted the wrong score, Caroline forfeited the win, even though her actual score was still much better than anyone else. And that one point, that one stroke, still would have not changed the outcome of the tournament. In reality, though, her scorecard was not accurate. Her scorecard did not match the correct score. Even though she would have won, she was one stroke short. Life in many ways is like that inaccurate scorecard. Humans like to keep score. We are creatures of the scorecard, except we keep score on humans, ourselves, our friends. Not that anybody here would do it on a spouse. And it's a usual phenomenon that our scores we keep on ourselves are typically a little better. But then there is that grim reality that we often find ourselves one stroke short of the real scorecard, the one that counts for eternity. That is, God's scorecard is very different from ours. Today is the Feast of St. Matthew. His whole life, up to the moment he met Jesus Christ, was about keeping score. And he was probably pretty good at it. Actually, he was in the business of balancing books, another form of scorekeeping. The work that he did was tax collecting. Tax collecting, if you think about it, was about making sure the accounts of someone up higher than you were paid in full. The one higher up for him was Caesar. Matthew's assignment could never be completely accomplished. He could never collect enough taxes for Caesar. Ultimately, neither could the demands of the word of the Lord. Like tax collecting, the debt owed to God for the sin in our lives, his life, could never ever be achieved apart from a supreme act of the mercy and grace of God. And here again, Matthew reveals this reality to us. He is the only gospel writer who records a story about a man who owed so much he couldn't pay all his insurmountable debts. If you remember, the man was forgiven. However, he did not forgive so graciously the much smaller debts that were owed to him. He was a scorekeeper. He kept better score in his favor than he did on others. And the owner was not pleased, the one who had forgiven him that enormous debt. Matthew knew God was not pleased with him. He was in the business of collecting and balancing books, that could never, ever be reconciled. Matthew knew that the Lord expected better. Matthew was also in the dastardly business of not being able to forgive others of their debts. He needed forgiveness. He needed to be able to dispense forgiveness. He found it in Jesus Christ. When the Lord crossed Matthew's path, he simply said to him, "Follow me." Matthew heard Christ's mystical call. He rose, left everything, including his service to Caesar and the ways of the world. Except for the brief interruption of betrayal by all of the apostles at the cross, Matthew followed Jesus Christ the rest of his life, and he died the death of a martyr, which is why the color is red today. Immediately after Matthew followed Jesus, however, we find him at a dinner with the Messiah. A conversation took place that sums up wisdom greater than Solomon's. During the meal, Jesus was challenged. Pharisees wanted to know why he, the Messiah, was eating with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus responded to them with those immortal words, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Someone defined mercy as not giving what is deserved, but giving what is undeserved. Jesus was saying that it was only through mercy and grace, not the human works of sacrifice, no matter how great they might be, that the debt owed to God could ever be resolved. It is impossible to balance the books with God. Why? Our sin is too great. The only resolution is the mercy of God. In the words of St. Augustine, "God's mercy goes before the unwilling to make him willing. It follows the willing to make his will effectual." Matthew came to realize that when it comes to God's scorebook, only his mercy and grace can balance the heavenly books. There's no amount of good we can possibly do to settle all of the accounts, the sins we have committed. That's not to say we shouldn't try to do good. We should. But it never balances God's books for the things that we have done. Thoughts, words, deeds. Somebody tried to calculate the number of sins a human commits a day, and it was well over 300. This is why St. Matthew talks about, in his gospel, forgiveness more than any other book in the Bible. One place is a conversation he had with none other than St. Peter, the one we typically view as guarding the pearly gates. St. Peter. St. Peter questioned the Lord, if you remember, "How many times should I forgive my neighbor?" And typical of Peter, before Jesus could answer, he spit out, "Up to 7 times? Jesus stunned Peter with his answer, 7 times 70. It has caused the church through the ages to try to figure out exactly how much we should forgive. And that was the very problem St. Peter had. Christ's answer was, God forgives and forgives and forgives. How about us? The Lord explained a forgiveness that runs out into eternity. Thanks be to God. Peter himself would need this kind of forgiveness in his own life. Of course, he didn't think he did. Remember that business of keeping score? His scorecard was always more in his favor. And yet he becomes the archetype right along with Judas, of how far even a follower of Jesus Christ can fall when he betrayed Jesus Christ three times. And yet the forgiveness of God met him on that lake after the resurrection. And Christ asked him three times, "Do you love me?" He asked him that three times because Peter had betrayed Jesus three times. So great was the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, even to go that far. Jesus' last words on the cross were, "It is finished," which is another way of saying, "Paid in full." So that's the good news for us today that St. Matthew brings us. Forgiveness in Jesus Christ balances the scales of God's justice in ways that we can never do that. God writes over our one stroke short scorecards, perfect score. How does he do this? He does it through the death of his only son. Tom Dooley was an American physician who became famous as a jungle doctor in Laos. He was once asked how he overcame disappointments and setbacks caused by others, uncaring people who hurt him. He replied, "I simply remind myself of who ultimately is really keeping score." His point? It is God who keeps the scorecard of this world. And that score, for those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ, is perfect score. And of course, we don't deserve that. But this is our loving, gracious, forgiving God. The same forgiving heavenly scorekeeper also forgives everybody else, even those who treat us badly. God forgives them. You see, God forgives and forgives and forgives the whole world. You, me, the people who don't like me, don't care for me, he forgives us all. This is why he says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice."